Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In Arabic, when there's a mixed assembly, male and female, then the address that is used is a masculine gender. When there's women and men, and Allah Ta'ala is addressing, so the gender that will be used will be masculine. يا أيها الذين آمنوا. Right. Perhaps man is supposed to show greater responsibility. He's stronger. He's supposed to show greater responsibility, and to a certain extent, he is supposed to be carrying the burden of the woman. So therefore, he is being addressed. Like, if someone has got a wholesale, right? Say, Wahid's wholesalers. So, if I want to address them, I'm coming from the government side. So, when I want to address them, I say, see, Wahid's wholesalers, I better park your car in this tartib. I will not say, the wholesalers and the staff, workers and customers all, because address the head, and everybody else is included. So, Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Aman. The Sahaba Kiram were very practical people. Clean, practical, clear. Whether it was for them or against them, they will explain it. Many a times it will be that a Sahabi is being reprimanded for a mistake that he's made. But then he will explain the whole incident. See, this was my mistake. And this is how I was corrected. See, now, our approach is totally different. Our approach is, when the Hazrat said, you know, you're a very good person, you're a nek and pious person, so that will remain. And we talk about it. Hazrat, this what Hazrat spoke about me. So that means there is some weakness, deficiency. So the Sahabiya woman, they were a bit concerned. And their concern was about this. That Allah Ta'ala addresses the men. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Believing and doing righteous works, for them is Jannah, right? But the gender that has been used is masculine. So when the masculine gender has been used, we became concerned that wherever we see the Quran Sharif, it addresses a masculine gender. So, are we also recognized? I'm saying in my own words, are we also recognized? So as a consideration, or as a mark of respect for the woman, Allah Ta'ala mention them in particular. Inna al-Muslimina wal-Muslimat, wal-Mu'minina wal-Mu'minat. Whereas they are included, but not a consideration to them. So now, Muslim men and Muslim women. But then what is Muslim? So, in these verses, the main features are explained. And perhaps why Allah Ta'ala is explaining the main features is everybody wants to know, right, how must I build a relationship, a rapport with Allah Ta'ala? Right. So if he knows the pointers, then he knows how to work. This is what Allah Ta'ala wants. Then I know that this is the point that I must reach. But if I don't know, then I'll be just speculating, I'll be guessing. If I know this is what he wants, these are the marks, these are the standards that he wants, then I know, alright, this is what Allah wants. It makes my work easy. I know exactly what he wants. Okay. The boss is always pulled up, right? So, but if the worker knows, alright, this is what the boss wants, he knows it, it makes it clear, alright, this is one second task, third task, fourth task, this is what he wants, then I know what to work, how to space myself out, I know exactly. So now, we hear the word Muslim, but then do we understand what is the meaning of Muslim? Because this is the pointer, this is the features that Allah Pak wants. So understand it, you know how to plan yourself out. Innal Muslimina wal Muslimat. So the first thing that he talks about is Muslim men and Muslim women. So Muslim means that he surrendered himself, he's given himself. Submission. What submission means? Submission means is that you unconditionally accept. Allah Pak said, do this, right. He said, don't do this, it's on. So it is just a matter of Allah Ta'ala commanding and you will do it, you will execute. You just need to know that this is a command of Allah Ta'ala. You don't need any further explanation. He mustn't tell you, you must make namaz because namaz is better for you. He doesn't have to say that. He just has to say that you do your namaz. Alright, as a consideration, sometimes will tell you the virtue of namaz, sometimes will show you the benefits of namaz, worldly wise, akhirat wise, he will show you the benefit. But really, he doesn't need to show you. It's a gesture of kindness that Allah Pak shows you, alright, you'll get this reward and this is how you'll be blessed. And this is the immense, immense rewards that you, and returns that you will get. So, the first thing is now, submission. Unconditionally, without any questions, you just gave yourself. See, this whole month of Zilhijjah that has passed, that's a lesson to be learned. Ibrahim alayhi salam shares the dream with the son, and the son is a proper Muslim at a young age. If al ma tu'mar, do as you've been commanded. He didn't say, Abba, you know, you need to be considerate. Because if you want to slaughter me, what are you going to get out of it? Slaughter a goat, at least we can enjoy the braai, enjoy some meat or something. Slaughter me, what are you going to get out of it? So, he didn't object. No resistance from his side. As the father says, and immediately he's executed, the son knows that this is a Nabi. And when he's a Nabi, he talks from Allah Ta'ala. When he says whatever he's saying from Allah Ta'ala, then my fortune is to just to accept, and accept immediately, without any hesitation, without any delay, must just accept. So, innal muslimina wal muslimat. Wal mu'minina wal mu'minat. So, when one is Muslim, male, Muslim female. Muslim man, Muslim woman. Then, mu'min man and mu'min woman. So, then what's the difference? So, the difference is, mu'min is the one لَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ Iman requires that faith must go deep into the recess of the heart. What you are talking about is within your heart, within your mind. You think like that, you behave like that, you work like that. Now that's called a mu'min man. There was one other that came here in the course of the week, teaching one of the bigger madrasas. She's wanting some advice. So I explained to him, see, what's the problem in this day? So look at two hadiths, right? We're talking of males and females, right? Look at these two hadiths. One hadith is, وَصَلَاتُ الْمَرْأَةِ فِي مِقْدَعِهَا خَيْرٌ مِّن صَلَاتِهَا فِي بَيْتِهَا So this three areas of the house, the hadith explains. One is the sahn, more like an open area. Like in our context, how it is a lounge, right? Lounge is like an open area. It's an open area, it's a common place, anybody, everybody has got access to it. Right. There's about two places or three places in the home where the inmates of the home have got access to it freely. Right. One is, I suppose, in our days, in our context, one is the lounge, one is perhaps the dining room, and one is the kitchen. Under normal circumstances, you can, unless now she's got some guests or something, then you need to make some adjustments. Otherwise, these three areas are parda free or parda friendly, right? You can walk, your wife can walk in, your daughter, your son, everybody can walk in. You don't feel intimidated walking into the kitchen or into the dining or into the lounge. Yes, if you know there's some guest, your wife has got some of her friends, then you will be apprehensive, you'll be cautious, you won't just push yourself into these areas. So, one is the woman performing namaz in the lounge, right? It is obviously more virtuous performing in the lounge than performing in the masjid. One is the masjid, the imam being Nabi Sosam, and the muftadi is being sahaba. But if that woman is going to perform the namaz in the house, in her lounge, it's going to be more rewarding than that namaz that she performs in the masjid the Nabawi for 3,000 times, than the imam being Nabi Sosam, and the muftadi is being the sahaba ikram. But then, وَصَلَاتُ الْمَرْأَةِ فِي بَيْتِهَا. And if she performs the namaz in her room, right, it's more rewarding than that open place. Can you see? Alright. Then you come at a third level, and the hadith goes on. وَصَلَاتُ الْمَرْأَةِ فِي مِقْدَعِهَا خَيْرٌ مِّن صَلَاتِهَا فِي بَيْتِهَا. Then, I think the closest translation to مِقْدَع will be like a closet. Because if you understand the details of the word miqta, it's like a room within a room, right? And a room within a room, I think it's like a closet, right? But her namaz in the closet is even more rewarding than her namaz inside her room, right? Now, when you look at the hadith, what is the understanding you get from the hadith? What is the understanding that you get from this hadith? I asked him for a moment. Then he thought for a second and he says, no, what is the mansha of Nabi Sallam, the desire of Nabi Sallam, is that woman should be concealed. See, lounge, room, and closet, right? So in these three, what is the most concealed area? The most concealed area is the closet. So for the closet, she's going to get the most reward. Well, I'll just explain this again. In life, we try and look for the better opportunity, right? When we look for it, we want our tea, then we want it ice cold, or it must be boiling hot. What, how do you want it? Boiling hot. Right? You want an ice cream, how do you want it? Ice cold or boiling hot? This one is ice cold, and this one boiling hot. You never hear of anybody eating a boiling hot ice cream. So as I gave the bayan last week, I was talking about this with the students. So one student met me out of the masjid, "Ma'am, but you forgot about it." So what? So you get a thing like fried ice cream. Now it's a fact. I found from home, now there is a thing like that. They know about it. I didn't know about it, but there's a thing like fried ice cream. I don't know. Right. So, ajeeb or gareeb, right? So, in life, we want to go for the things that are better. That's the makeup of man. He knows something is better this side, he will go for it. Something better this side, he will go for it. That's his nature. He doesn't want to bargain for anything inferior, right? If they're serving food at a walima, right, we'll come right at the end and eat the leftovers. We'll go to the first serve, eat garam garam, zafs, coming out from the dig. How do you want it? You want the garam garam first serve with all the finishes and everything, all the extras. Or at the end now, a little bit, they have to scrape it on the pot and give it to you. What do you prefer? Any person will say, no, I want the first round. If there's an investment going, and the investment on one side is getting 10%, and the other way, hey, you've got a luck here, it's a short thing, guaranteed thing, just coming out only for this week, you just press the right button, it's going 25%. You go for the 10 or the 25. So anything is better, it's human, it's natural that you go for the thing that is better. You don't want to bargain for the thing that is inferior, right? The car is being sold here, right? Finishes are same here, say all finishing full house. Here, model is the same, reputable companies. He's selling the car for 1 million, exactly the same car he's selling for 400,000. Won't you go for that which is better? Okay, 400,000 is better than 1 million. So let me go for that. So it's our makeup that we want to go for the things that are better. We don't want to bargain for things that are inferior. And strangely, Allah also wants us to try, to attempt for the better. Because He says, As-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon. He says, sari'u, wa-sabiqu. Doesn't he say that? Sari'u, race. Like in a race, moving. You don't come, you don't take second place. You don't take first place. If you can help it, first place. So Allah also wants us to go ahead. And naturally our makeup, our human mind is also saying, hey, if you can try, you can get the better one, take the better one. Why taking something inferior? Right? It's a stove or a fridge or any other appliance that is superior, no defects and rejects. You'll go for that, or the one that is going for the reject. Price is about the same price. But what you'll go for? Anybody, motor car, food, appliances, anything that is better, you will go for that. So Allah also wants for us the better things. So therefore He says, sari'u, sabiku, race, compete, move on. Don't take an inferior. So you see, so this verse is saying, وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. That iman's perfection comes to that point when it's gone deep into the heart. Now the depth of the heart, how do you understand that iman has gone deep into the heart? You understand that iman has gone deep into the heart like this. Okay. Now, you don't need a lengthy explanation to refrain from a wrong. Last week I was addressing Urdu Bayan, you know. So I said, it would seem that as though Shaitan also knows that we're coming towards the end of the world, right? And whatever tricks he had to distract man, he's thrown everything out of his bag. Everything that he had, every strategy, every plan, every trick to distract mankind from the path of Jannat, he's thrown everything out, right? Because he knows now, after this, I can't get a grab. Whatever I can get now. When I can get now, then let me throw everything out. Let me try my best, my last try. And whoever I can apprehend them, and take them all. I'll have all a lot of satis in Jahannam. I'm roasting and toasting, they must also roast and toast. Right. So one friend came. This is what I explained then, right? So he's come this morning at about 11 o'clock or so, or 10 o'clock, 10, 11 o'clock. So he says to me, I didn't even start the topic, and he's telling me, you know what? He said, I like to look at the news. He didn't tell me for Islam. He just said, I like to look news here, there, all that. So he says, now see. He said, I don't look at these things, now see. It's just an advert. So there is one side that is called a flipboard. It's called a flipboard. I'd like to get the cutting. Someone can take it out. I would like to get the cutting. But what the flipboard has got is exactly what I said just last week. The flipboard says, oh, it's very strange. Very strange what they got in that news. He says, you see, we are trying our best to distract the Muslim, right? We are trying our best to distract the Muslim. And now we have struck an idea, the words that he used there, we have unleashed, the word he used, unleashed hell on earth. We have unleashed hell on earth with technology. That every vice, every evil, everything is found here. So that article goes now, it's coming from Israel, right? That article says it's coming from Israel. Unleashed hell on earth, right? That a believer that is sitting in a masjid, forget his behavior and forget the wrongs that he will do with his sight, his beliefs also will be corroded and corrupted. So we couldn't find a better plan would turn him away. Everybody else, every other people, we can manipulate, we can turn around. This person, we couldn't. So we thought of a way how to distract him, that in spite of him sitting in the masjid, in the house of Allah Ta'ala, his beliefs are corroded, his mind is corrupt, his behavior is perverse. How to do it? So we have unleashed hell on the surface of this earth. And they said, we're not worried about our people, because the rest of the people are already off. They're already off on our line. This was a person, this was a stumbling block, and we had to do something for them. Now I was surprised that exactly what I mentioned there came out here. So it will seem as though it is a shaitanic agency. I mean, if you analyze the whole thing, shaitan's work, what is it? La'ughwiyannam, to throw people off the path. Isn't that? What is his work? La'aqudanna lahum sirataka al-mustaqim. That's his work, is to throw people off the path. So this is now like a perfect design that they have engineered, but the engineering is to throw people off the path. So as the conversation continued, I was surprised at what I said, and it came up here. So he said, but you know, we have our businesses to run, and then that's a common excuse. Now how do we overcome this? So I said, no, I spoke to a couple of doctors and other friends, other professional persons. I said, I know it's a thing that it's indispensable. You can't do without it, right? But see, if you want to have your iman right, then you fix and you appoint your business times. From this point to this time is my business, right? My business hours, say, from 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock is my business hours. So your phone remains in your business. It remains there, locked up there. So if anybody is calling, they'll call on that number from that time to that time. And afterwards, you got a simple phone without any features. Just the feature to receive and return a call. Nothing else. Absolutely nothing. So this will give you a lot of peace. It will give you a lot of relief. And apart from the relief, it will give you a direction. So he asked me, what do you mean? I said, if you got this thing, your 24s in your pocket, then I tell you that it's a very, very effective way to disrupt a family unit. To confuse a whole home, to break the home down, it's a perfect recipe. Because you can talk to the child, but his mind is either wandering, or in your presence he's watching. He's talking to you, but he's watching, looking at his phone. That in itself is disrespect, right? Then whether he got you 100% or not, that's a different thing. He's so glued onto it that he became like as though he's a worshipper of this thing here. So he takes the cue from the phone, whether it's a Google or whatever, he takes the cue from there. Instead of him listening to his father, to his mother, respect his brothers, his siblings, right, his aunt, his granny, aunt. So instead of showing respect and time and attention to all these people that he needs to show attention, he will not show, he'll show attention to these things. So it breaks up your life as an individual, as a family, as a whole household, as a community, as people coming in a masjid. I ask you, which area does it not corrupt and break up and disrupt? I ask you, which area? So that's why they say that it's a perfect thing that they have invented. And they say also that they had introduced it long, long time ago, right? But they introduced it very gradually, gracefully they introduced it. So gracefully that people could not perceive, could not detect what's going on. But then all these apps, all they had it already planned, right? And in these apps there's a lot of money to be made, so it makes it more lucrative, it's so much of money, right? One person in that side, and he's very attractive, everybody's coming to him, so you can imagine the amount of money that he's making, right? How much of money he's making? So it becomes very lucrative, it becomes very attractive. The businessman says, at the press of a button I can do everything. I can buy. That's a secondary thing. One Hafiz Saab came to me, month of Ramadan, and he says, you know, I never did haram in my life. Alhamdulillah, with the graceful, I never did. But now I'm sitting in my home, and I'm month of Ramadan, I got the phone, in a press of a button, I did something that I become Wajibur Rajam. I just press a button, I got the girl by my house, and I did what I'm not supposed to be doing. Now what do I do, Mawlana? What do I do? But you see how easy it is. This morning the mail came, so now, it looks a little bit amusing also how it came, said, oh, Mawlana, I got this thing and I did every haram. All the haram I did, I watched what I was not supposed to be watching. Now what is the way to make this park? Can I wash this off and become park? That's the actual thing he's asking, what? If I wash this whole thing off, can it become park? Now see how perverted the mind is. So I told the person, by the best way to make it park is bust this thing. And buy a simple thing. Because you cannot say, see, Azhar Ji has to say, Bharosa nahi is nafse ammara ka. You cannot rely on this nafs. Even if there is one moment left for you to live on this earth, you cannot rely on this nafs. Badguma rehna. Farishta bhi ye ho jaye to badguma rehna. See this old people what they said. So I say, what they said was like gold, not gold. There's something more precious than gold. It's their words. But Adi Sahib used to say, Hazrat Ji said this, Adi Sahib is in Makkah Mukarramah, right? And because of his approach and his ways, very straight, clear, honest, likable person. So when you are a very likable person, you draw in crowds, and people become envious. So some of the people becoming envious, they want to take you out of Makkah Mukarramah. Hazrat says, but the grace of Allah, I fear nobody. If the thing that I fear is my nafs, the only thing I fear is my nafs. Imagine the height of perfection. He's gone right to the height. But at that point also he says, I don't feel complacent of my nafs. Whatever he's saying, Bharosa nahi is nafs ammara. Can you be ever confident, complacent about this nafs? At any time, you know, one slip. So now you got this thing here, right in your pocket. You know, at the press of a button you can do, you can turn the world around. Whatever you want, you can do it. Now, is it a safe gadget to be keeping in a Muslim home or a Muslim pocket? Is it a safe thing? So somebody just leave it only for the business hour. You got a tight business schedule just for that busy period. So to explain one doctor that if you got it for only for business, right? And at the prime time, you only got it for the prime time. So when it's only for the prime time, you're not going to play with this. Because it's so consuming that it will consume you. It will consume you now. On the one side, you've got your client waiting for you, and this thing is consuming you. One of two things will happen. Either you will lose your clientele, right, or you lose this phone. All the two will happen. Right? Because they're going to wait for you, and they don't see the service, they'll move away. So you got the joy, and you lose the clientele. So you're only going to use it per necessity. Beyond that, you're not going to use it. A simple thing, by take a simple phone. If iman is something dear to your heart, وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِ, it's very, very dear. It's very precious. It's a thing that you don't want to risk for a second. See what they're saying? They want to corrupt not only your action, your behavior, and your conduct, but they want to rob you also of your iman. It's a perfect gadget to be unleashed. This is the words. We unleashed hell on earth. See that? Flipboard. Someone can just go check it up. I don't know when he checked it up, but he came and told me this morning at about 10, 11 o'clock. So maybe 1-2 weeks ago he may have checked this thing up and he said it. See? Now people like us, we talk about this thing, it doesn't mean much. Right? But if some Western scientist and philosopher or a professor says it's so bad, you know, for your eyes, for your sight, it's got the property of also giving you AIDS, you know. What happened? So that kafir, if he says it, say, hey, this is dangerous, leave it out. But if we're sitting in a masjid and we're talking about, inko in Yusuf ke saath kya taluk? See how it's affected your iman. It's already affected your iman. See, that kafir will say it, you might just have PhD, doctor, so and so, and he's got so many people coming to his side, you want to go listen to him. And I tell you, even ulama, but you're not supposed to be looking. Look, just keep it in your workplace, but leave it out. It's not worth it at all. No matter how important, what side and who's talking about what, But it's the best thing to confuse your mind. I was looking at one of Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah's one article. He says, Salik ke liye bahut se buzurgon se milna bhi khatarnak hai. You're going on this path here, meeting with Sonia, reading about that one, he says whatever he says, and he's saying, going to meet this one, talk to that one. He says it's dangerous. Because it doesn't allow your mind to be straight. Now you're confused now. He said something here, this sounds very good here, let me take this one here, let me jump onto this one here. Then he ends up the article and he says, ye tashweesh is raah mein bahut hi khatarnak hai. To have that tashweesh now, you know, confusion. That confusion in this path is extremely dangerous. You see, you don't show the commitment because of this. You know, why are you not showing a full commitment? Because your mind is split. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit there. It's split all over. So therefore, that doesn't allow you to give the full commitment. And if you're not giving the full commitment, then you're not coming on the standard of aslamna. Aslamna means you have submitted yourself. Now it's not called submission. A little bit here, give a little bit there, third. Everything is divided, everything is shared out. When it's shared out, can you see it's a full commitment? A full commitment. See that? So this is a perfect device. Like I say that flipboard called that Asat, that from Israel is coming, that we have engineered such a device, we have unleashed hell on earth. That's what it says. But I'd like someone to just pull this article out and I have to read that thing myself again. So we're talking of Walamma yadkhul al-Iman. Brother Mohammed writes afterwards, he says, you've heard that Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah is there in one sitting, and Hadi Sahib rahmatullah is there, then we won't even look at Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah, though we will believe that Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah is much higher, much higher. But for the moment that Hadi Sahib is there, we'll turn our attention purely, entirely to Hadi Sahib. So what is he talking? Is he talking that now you must worship me? Is that what he's talking about? Then what is he talking about? He's talking about people like us. See this, our crowd. That our minds are all divided. Here, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. Third place, fourth place, fifth place, tenth place. Then you're not giving that undivided attention. And when you're not giving that undivided attention, you're not benefiting as you're supposed to be benefiting. It's a different thing, alright? You saw that buzuk, you heard someone, you went to meet him, it's enough. But your mind being divided so many areas, this is one of the root causes of you not being able to enjoy the benefit as you ought to enjoy the benefit. See, if Junaid Baghdadi is there, we believe that he is much greater. But for the time that Hadi Sahib is there, it's our Sheikh, we will just focus our attention and tie it towards him. We won't turn our attention to him. Now what he's saying is very great, very, very great. In our context, let me just explain that, just bring it lighter, so your minds can understand what he's talking about. See, your teacher is conducting a lesson, say on English or maths, right? So he's conducting the lesson, right? And there is a PhD of maths and English that's come from the university. If your teacher is conducting that lesson at that time in the class, then what is your fortune to look at that PhD that is coming from the varsity or to look at your teacher? It's so important to look at your teacher at that time that it's possible that he's going to be sharing one concept, right? And your mind is distracted and you may lose that concept. And possible you will never understand it again. It's possible that you will never understand it again. It's so important that you just have your mind just glued on the teacher for that time. That person, you can see him some other time. Or you can meet him, whatever, take his blessings, whatever. But here you will not divide your attention. See this? See this iman, this corrosion on the iman when it's coming. That attack is straight on the iman. And that is where you find an inconsistent pattern. Remember, it's impossible to have and two inconsistent attitude at one and the same time. You cannot have ma ja'alallahu لِرَجُلٍ مِّن قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ. Allah Pak hasn't given to any single body two hearts. Right? One is the seal of this, but this is an understanding also that you can't have two inconsistent attitudes in one person at the same time. Can there be iman and kufr in the person at the same time? Can it be? Yes, at different times he can be a mu'min, and at a different time he's left iman. So that's possible. But at one and the same time, two inconsistent attitudes, can it work? See? So, what this requires, see, iman, to come right into the crevice, right into the roots. And your mind can't be divided. The mind has to be full. For you to be enjoying the full, your mind has to be full. And your mind is divided here, there, I read this article here, and Muslim Ummat said this, and this Muslim woman read this, and yeah, I read this. Hey, you won't lose out. Because you're not showing that importance for that lesson of the teacher at that time. Your mind is divided, so you're not going to get it. And because of the disappreciation, it's likely for the rest of your life you will not get it. Because the giver is Allah Ta'ala. And you're not showing the respect. When you're not showing the respect, then it's possible for the rest of your life you don't want to get it. So you see how important this is. So I have more time just to say, but you want higher maqamat and all, go elsewhere. Mere paas aakar ke ibtidai cheeza seek lo. You want big maqam and all that, you know, abdal and all that, go elsewhere. You come and learn the basics. He would say that there is a need to learn the basics. Why is there a need to learn the basics? Because if the basic is done, then sky is the limit. You can keep building. But if the basics aren't right, you put up a building, it's crashing down. Put up a building, it's crashing down. Why the basics are not right? The foundation is not right. So he says, come and learn the beginning, the ABC of the soul, come and learn it here. It's sounded, it's grounded, now it will take everything. But you're not getting the basics right. You see, this one here said this, and this one said this, and this one saw this dream, and why you want to confuse your mind. Confuse your mind, and that's what's called tashwish. And when that gets into you now, then you can't get the direction. No matter what you try, you can't get it. You can't get what others are getting. So that's the third thing. Innal muslimina wal muslimati wal mu'minina wal mu'minat. So for that iman to take shape, right, it needs to be rooted very well. How well you root it, that's your luck. You want a 50-story building, then you can't just have a simple foundation. Then you have to do piling as well. Go. Perhaps you've reached a rock 30 meters, 40 meters down. Now that foundation is solid. I put up 50, 60 stories, it can take it. Why? The piling is done very well. Now nothing will shake this thing here. You've got an ordinary foundation for such a big building. So for a time being, for a short while, you may go through some experiences, like how you got that simple foundation, you got the building up. So for some time you can see some excitement. After that, it crashes, gone. So, وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ. What's the meaning of قَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ? قَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ means to be constant in the service of Allah Ta'ala. Not constant, to be devoted to the service. Right? So, devoted to His service. Understand? So, devoted to the service means, otherwise it's move, running, full speed, it's giving you, asking you to move, and you're moving at a full speed. As you stop, immediately you stop. Imagine you're going at 300, and you say stop straight. So, without any reservation, without any hesitation, without any concern, you stop straight on your tracks. See that? So, devoted to the service of Allah Ta'ala. Qanitina wal qanitat. See, they talk about reaching Allah Ta'ala, right? Now, reaching Allah Ta'ala, right? The most effective way to reach Allah Ta'ala is to do your farais. What obligations Allah Ta'ala has assigned? Namaz, you know. your dealings, you know, your rights towards people, you know, right? Your duties towards people, you know. So, one is the obligations that Allah Ta'ala has appointed, right? So you have completed the obligation. Right? When people come here, say, but get your faraiz right first. Namaz, or get that right. If you owe someone, try your best. You can't, Allah will forgive, but you're trying. You are living a very simple life just to see and ensure that everybody's obligation is fulfilled. Allah will look at you favorably. But provided you are trying sincerely, I'll constrain myself, I'll constrict myself, I'll try and fulfill every person's obligation. Whoever it is, I'll fulfill. And in the process, you died. So Allah Pak himself says, وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعَى, you're trying. When you're trying, Allah Pak says, you die in process, كَانَ سَعَيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا, your effort is appreciated. If the boss says, I appreciate you, how you feel? You're working for a company, and the boss says, I appreciate you. And you know the boss is very loving, very caring, very appreciative. I say, I really appreciate you. How do you feel? So you're trying, as long as you're trying, Allah Pak says, I'll appreciate you. That's what he wants. Kana sa'yum mashkura. See the words of the Quran. Your effort is appreciated. And I ask you, who's more appreciative than Allah Ta'ala? He says, I'm appreciating. Right? And I ask you, is there anybody that is more as appreciative as Allah Ta'ala? The number of things you do, say, Allah Ta'ala says, you're gone. You escalated. Small little effort you did, there was small qurban here, small qurban that side. 20 rand, 30 rand, 1000 rand, billion rand, you gave. Bhai, diya hua kisi ka tha. Who gave it to you? He gave it, so is there any qurbani? But out of love and kindness, the qurbani that you made, I'll reward you like this. But really it was his, and he's taken it back, so really there's no qurbani on your side. But the little niyat that you made, for that also Allah Ta'ala rewards you. That is his compassion, his love. فُولَيْكَ كَانَ سَعْيُمْ مَشْكُورًا. So to be devoted to his service at any given time, do this now, you stop on your tracks and straight away. You know, in Myaswam, you're studying, you see. So an old Hafiz that was studying with us, I was in P, old, maybe about 65 years of age, 65, 70 years of age. So he said, you know, Hafiz Sahib was listening to me, 20th Sipara, you know. And I was saying the door, Amman huwa qanitun. Amman huwa qanitun. I missed out the hunna. Amman huwa qanitun ana al-layl. That's the Miyasam style, you must read that. Every word, every qaida, you must read. So I missed out the qaida. He pushed me. And only got a turn to read that after 1 hour. Now he's saying, Mullah, you think I'll ever make that mistake? I can't make that mistake. That's one gunna I left out, and a gunna is treated like a small thing, right? But he pushed me for an hour, Mullah, you think I'll ever make that mistake? I can't make, in my whole life, I can't make a mistake again. That he was so deeply instilled in me. So, that is why you see the mutaqaddimin, when you make a mistake, they push you out. Small mistake. And they push you out. You got that Ghulam Ali, right, who became a big buzug, and all this Tafsir and Mazhari, all these people here, right, they all connected this side. And all come under Ghulam Ali. Ruhul Ma'ani, all that, Lama Khalid, all they come under him, right. So, he says now, it's a hot day, and I'm fanning my Sheikh. So the Sheikh says, tere heart mein koi jaan nahi hai, no life in you. No life in you, doing like this. So what's wrong with you? So I picked up the speed. When I picked up the speed, he said, tu mujhe ura dega, you will blow me over. So it just came out of my mouth, you know, na is tarah se bane, na is tarah se bane. He's not coming out right this way, he's not coming out right this way. Now Hazrat overheard this, chale jao. Get out. Don't want to see for a month. Now he's closest murid. Ghulam Ali was about his closest murid. You know, after a month or something, when Mafi Tarafian came back. Hazrat is relating the story to us. I don't know how many times he mentioned the same story, repeated again and again. I used to think at that time, hey, I heard the story now, so many times now, can you think of the story? But why is this? Hazrat is telling this story so many times. Why is he mentioning the story and he's repeating it so many times? Why is he repeating? He says, what he's telling us, the tasawwuf is not to know a lot of stories. The tasawwuf is to get the concepts right. That's what he was telling us. But stories is a different thing. You want to tell me a story and drama, go look at a video. Go to a cinema, go to a drama, you'll find some entertainment there. But you want to learn concepts and learn these things here, basic things. Hazrat is explaining, he says, now, what was the need for pulling him out like that? The Hazrat says, you see, this man is going to be my representative in the outside. To the entire world, he'll represent me. When he mentioned this, I understood that there is some fraction of ghussa in him still. He still got some fraction, some element of ghussa. And if he's going to go out from here with ghussa, then he's not going to represent me. He can't be representing me. How can he be an agent for deen? I mean, he's got his ghussa now. On one side, he's present, he's got deen to promote. And then he's got his ghussa to maintain. See that? So he's got his pride and he's got deen. Can you see there's a conflict of interest? So it's going to be a mixture of the both. Sometimes his ghussa is taking, pride is taking, and sometimes it is deen that is taking. So will he be giving a pure brand of deen? Or will it be mixed because of the conflict of interest? There's an interest here, there's an interest here. But now that ghussa is totally smashed down, so if he's going to be firm now, he'll be firm only for Allah Ta'ala, not for his personal self. Now I have to get that right from him first. Another he says that, Mawlana Yaqub Sabran says that when you get the person right, sometimes you're turning around the other side. And he gave an example. He says, see, take a piece of paper that is folded and you want to straighten it. So what do? You turn it the other way around. Then it becomes straight after that. But you just try to straighten, it comes up like that again, right? So, but you want to straighten the person, you have to turn it back on the other side. Now he's turned like this, now you got him straight. Otherwise, ya hamare sab ghussa karte hai, baat ja karke kya karega? When he's showing me a little bit of emotions and anger, then can he be my true representative when he goes out? See that? See, so you see that when they cleanse you, why they cleanse you in this way? That you become an agent of deen and pure deen. There must be no conflict of interest. So there's two inconsistent attitudes, and one at the same time, it can't work. You can't say you're a mu'min and a munafiq. Can't say that. You can't say you're a child and a grown-up person. Can you say that? Can't say either a child or you're a grown-up person. But two things at one and the same time, can it happen? Can't happen. So, wal mu'minina wal mu'minati, wal qanitina wal qanitat, wal sadiqina wal sadiqat, right? Truthful. In your promises that you have with Allah Ta'ala, you're truthful. You said, La ilaha illallah. You said, from today now, I'll only listen to Allah. That's what you're saying. So, in the promise and the pledge that you have taken with Allah Ta'ala, then you're always looking at, alright, is this endorsed or not? Has it got the divine endorsement or not? Is it authorized or not? Sadiqeen or sadiqat. I'm with people now. Am I truthful in my pledges, in my talk, in my whatever statements I'm making? Am I truthful? Am I honest? Or at one moment I'm something and the next moment I'm something else. But you see now all this goals Allah Pak is showing. At the beginning of the talk I explained that these are the goals you want to come on. So these are the goals that you must look. You want you want all A's, right? In the metric, you want all A's, right? So if you want all A's, then these are the subjects, right? So you have to work on all subjects. You can't say, I'll only work on English and I'll get through. No. You have to work on every subject to get all the best marks. Then you will need to have A's in all subjects. Then you got the best marks. But you got English, math, science, you got 3 A's. And the rest you got C, D and all that. It's not working out, right? get A's in all. صادقين والصادقات. You see that? So you get A's in all. You work on Iman, work on Islam. قانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات. So what the truth requires of you, how much it requires by the truth. We hear of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and then the problem that he had, he was ostracized for approximately 50 days. And he said, now from now, I understood that it was the truth that had bailed me out. What? It was the truth only that bailed me out. I take a pledge with Allah Ta'ala that I will never move away from this. Sadiqeen wa sadiqat. Sabireen wa sabirat. You're going to work for deen. There's going to be problems, there's going to be hurdles. You cannot say, there's not going to be hurdles. You know, hey, it's a smooth path and I won't have any hurdles. There's going to be hurdles. There's going to be clashes, there's going to be conflicts. So in all this, Allah is going to test your mettle, how firm you are, how constant you are. Do you persevere? Or you're shaken by slightest wind and you're shaken on one side. Slightest wind, you're shaken on the other side. Nowadays, you have to say something like that for some people, right? You know, I got a medical aid. I just have to keep quiet. I know it's not right. But then I'm looking at this imani level. When I look at the person, imani level, oh, no imani God. But he, one thing comes on not in his favor, and he's ready to sacrifice. He's ready to compromise his deen. So you can't just tell him those things. On account of the imani level. See, imani level is dropped so bad. Sorry, by make istighfar at least, man. At least make istighfar, try and come out gradually. You can't tell him, say, oh, but Mullah, I can't go to the state hospitals, man. See the service there, what they're providing. What must I do? Life-threatening situation, what must I do? So, we can't talk too much about these things because of the imani levels. Iman level has dropped so bad, so we can't talk at that level. So, wasabirin wasabirat. At the level that he is now, slowly, you have to bring them up. So very, very, very gracefully, very gradually you have to bring them up. Because of their levels. It's not that we are sanctioning this. It's not that we are approving of this. But you can understand the man where he's coming from. And when he's coming from this type of a background, you have to bring him up, but bring him up very, very gracefully. Right? Many times you get this case coming up, you know. They want to fight with their wives and all that. Why she's not coming on. I'm at a certain level and I want her to come on to that level. She's not coming on. And because she's not coming on, I'm just tired of this woman now. So I have to explain them, why? كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُم مِّن قَبْلُ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. You were the same. A few years ago, you were the same. Gradually someone gave on bayan, you thought of death, someone passed away, you came through an accident, so you recovered, then you start coming to your senses. You didn't come to your senses straight away. So when you didn't come to your senses straight away, you had a messy past, she also had a messy past. Now, both of you will come up together, slowly come up. But now, straight away you want to take a high jump, you'll break and you'll crack. You'll hurt yourself. You'll hurt yourself, you'll hurt her. Because, according to what you are saying, that you want to go get out, right? But I ask you now, 1 month out of the marriage, can you be comfortable? Can you slip into haram? Can you fall into something worse? You know you'll fall into something worse. You know you can't live without her. And you know that you also had a messy past. You also were doing some things. So, you're coming on, then come on a little bit gracefully. Understand where you are, where she is. Come. Don't be complacent and don't be too over-enthusiastic. Don't be complacent and don't be too over-enthusiastic. You have to work and work moderately. Al-qasd al-qasd tablughu. You go with moderation, you will come through. Moderation is not that you must compromise. No. Compromising is a different thing. Moderation is a different thing. Moderation is you understand that you are not right and you're moving up. Right? That's moderation. Compromising is you are here and you want to come down. So, alright, hey, parda, it's not so serious now. We break it here and there, it's alright. That's compromising. And yeah, alright, we've got a certain level of parda. We can't now come right to the perfect. But we're working towards gradually coming up, not going down. We are working towards coming up, not going further down. See? So, والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات. Then والخاشعين والخاشعات. See, See, all this what I've spoken about is more or less the body. But the essence is khashi'in wal khashi'at. That's the essence of iman. Right. Now what is the gist of khashi'in? Right. Khashi'in got two things in it, right? One is the outer dimension of khashi'in. Khashi'in in namaz will mean that you are focused to the place where you're supposed to be focusing. Standing towards sajda, ruku towards your feet, right? Qada towards your what do you call this? Good. Lap, yeah? So, you focus at the right place, then you don't turn away from that space. Number two, you don't move and fidget around. So your eyes is focused on the right place, your hands and your body is not fidgeting around. See that? Your hands and your body is not fidgeting around, and your eyes is focused at the same, at the one place. Your clothing is right. So these are the three requirements of khushu. Clothing is right, your eyes are not wandering around, your body parts are not moving around, right? Your postures are right. So that's one dimension of khushu. The second dimension of khushu is also physical, right? Or it's something that you can control, right? Is deliberately don't allow your mind to engage in any other thought. Deliberately. You have the consciousness that I'm reading to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is watching me, He is listening to me. That thought will fade away. You bring it up again, it will fade away, it will become pale. You bring it up again. So that's khashi'in. Deliberately you don't think about, alright, what I need to do tomorrow, and what about that sale, you have to go to that auction, what about this one here, that car is now, it's giving me trouble now, I need to change it, which is a better place to go and buy that car. So don't engage your mind deliberately. So this is one side of khushu, right? And that side of khushu is manageable, right? But now what is the essence of khushu? The essence of khushu is that after you have done everything, then when you look and you understand the magnanimity, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, right? Look at the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, and then you look at yourself, you say, hey, I am nothing, absolutely nothing, totally deficient, rejected. I look at myself, I look at the magnanimity and the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. Kaha me, or kaha ye nikah te gul, naseem-e saba ye teri meherbani. So there's a lot of examples they quote for this. Kaha me, or kaha ye nikah te gul, naseem-e saba teri meherbani. Right. So some examples that they show is of an ant, right? And that ant is pining to go and make tawaf. The whole world is going to Makkah, to go to Madina Munawara, or Haqir, Fakir. Will it ever be possible for me to go? You see what the ant is saying. Is it ever possible for me to go to Makkah, to Madina Munawara? Is it ever possible? Now it's crying away, seeing this Hadithab came, and he came from Umrah, even to Madina Munawar, that thing is crying. So one pigeon felt sorry for that thing. Alright, no, boy, I understand your plight, but listen, I'll make a plan for you. But when I make a plan for you, just hold firm. You don't let go. Don't look down, and you don't let go. I'll make a plan for you. What is the plan? He says, you go within my feathers, my feet, you go within, and you hold yourself firmly there. You don't let go, and you don't look down. So that thing's fortune is if he doesn't let go. See. So the shaykh may be very weak, but he'll take you. Right? A pigeon is not a very strong thing. It can be swallowed by a hawk, right? But you hold on to that thing. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, maybe it takes 4 days, 5 days, whatever. But it'll take you. It'll take you there, it'll take you to Madina Munawwarah. But you need to hold firm. And then don't look at any other thing. See that ant? So don't look at any other thing. Now you look at this one here, that one there. You may just lose what you have got. You're looking at this one, you're looking at that one, you're looking at that one. Then the ant may just see ocean here. Only at Gabrat. Where this thing took me? In the Gabrat, it may just leave. It may just fall down. So it's not in Kaaba Sharif, it's not a dome. It fell into the ocean. See that? See how? The shaykh will take you. He's zakir, fakir, but he'll take you, right? But you're not going to hold him like how you're supposed to hold. Then you're not at home, and you're not at the Kaaba Sharif. So whatever he is, but just hold on firm. Hold on firm. Hold on firm, and do as he says. Right? Now, that end, and he reached the Kaaba Sharif. Now that thing is say, kaha me, or kaha ye nikah te gul. Naseem Saba, teri mehrmani. Says, where am I, and where is the auspicious house of Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala is just your blessings. What? Allah Ta'ala? It is only your blessings that I have reached here. You see that? So that's khushu. When you look at the magnificence, the beauty, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, then you think, I am absolutely nothing. Really. That thought is not just a thought. It is a nature. It's a nature. It's not a thought. It's a nature. Right. Like how you can't smell things, get the fragrance of things, right? So that's a natural property, isn't it? So similarly, that becomes like a natural property, that I am nothing. Right? One is you heard of a lion, it's a different thing, right? And one is face to face with the lion now, is the same. Allah Pak put haybat in that thing. There's a big massive zoo in Calcutta, you know, massive zoo. So they got tigers and all that there. One villager came in for the first time, saw the tigers and all that, Bengal tiger. Because that thing is more powerful than our lion. Our lion is powerful, but this tiger is even more powerful. Look at the lion, that tiger, how powerful that thing is. So now this villager is seeing that this thing is in some cages, that thing can't come out. So he now wants to prod that thing. He took one long stick and he's prodding that thing. And the lion is not paying attention at all. This thing he's prodding it again. You can see the workers not around, so he's taking advantage now. He's prodding the thing one time, second time, and that thing is just gentle. You know, it's got a magnificence about itself, and it's magnificent, it's elegant look, and it's just carrying on. Carried on for about 5 minutes. But out of 5 minutes, that thing just looked once, eye to eye. But look at him once, just once, one look. You know, Allah gave haybat, he gave it fear, awe. Just that one look towards the lion, and he fell unconscious. He made pisab in his tongue. See that? So one is we talk of a lion, and one is face to face on a lion. It is the same, it is the experience the same. They're two different things. See? So wal khashi'ina wal khashi'at, one is to talk about it, and one is to feel that khushu of Allah Ta'ala, that awe of Allah Ta'ala, that magnificence of Allah Ta'ala, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. We think about it, we understand it, and we bring it to our hearts. It's two different things. Like I say, a lion, it's more simple thing like lion. You see our picture, a child will play with that thing, dead lion, they'll play with that thing, pull his tail, open his mouth, see his teeth and all that. Still don't play with that thing. But face to face with a real lion, are you the same? You're a different person altogether now. You know what this thing is. You know the capacity, you know the might, strength that goes behind it. You know about it. So you don't take a chance. See that? So khashi'ina, would all the service that you have offered to Allah Ta'ala, then too you feel yourself to be deficient. Labak, my, this was not right. Namaz wasn't right. Labak, do forgive me. Wabil asharihum yastafi, you thankful to Allah Ta'ala, for giving you the grace of offering the namaz. But you also have a fear, Labak, I didn't do it like how I was supposed to be doing it. Bil asharihum yastafirun. They're standing the night in tahajjud, but in the early hours, I'm deficient, I'm wrong. I didn't do it like how I was supposed to be doing it. So that's the very essence of khushu. Wal khashi'ina wal khashi'at. You know, we're talking about different goals. So these are the different goals that Allah is talking about after having done everything, then to feel broken down. I didn't do it. If Allah accepts it, it's His grace, only grace. And if he rejects, then really it's worthy of being rejected. If he rejects it, it's worthy of being rejected. And if he accepts it, it's only purely his grace. So you feel surprised also if any person is coming to show you respect. Become a little bit pious, come a little bit earlier to the masjid. Make some fook here. Khajur now, tahani, make tahani here. Kiss his hand, pass the hand over the child's head now. Water now, make fook here, make some tawis for me. So a little bit someone must see you, and they show you that additional respect, and there you get bloated. Hey, see, I must be something for these people to afford me this type of respect from Allah Ta'ala. See that? One shot, and your mind can just go off. So you see this aspect of khashi'ina wal khashi'at. After having done everything, then to you feel nothing. Allah Baqir, it's your grace, please forgive me. Do forgive me. I'm thankful that you allowed me, gave me the grace to be doing it, to be coming to your house. I really accept this. I really appreciate this. But really, I didn't do it like how I was supposed to be doing it, right? You know, you got an honorable guest in your house, right? Great bazook in your house. So, you are grateful that he came, right? Aren't you grateful? But then at the end you say, we didn't show you the respect that we're supposed to be showing. You will not say, Buzrug, be happy now that I came to your house. Will you have that attitude? You will not have that attitude. You say, I'm very, very happy that you've come, gracious occasion. But really, we couldn't do according to your levels, according to your majesty, we couldn't do it. So do forgive and overlook our deficiencies. Don't you have that attitude? So you see, wal khashi'in, after having done everything, then too you feel nothing. Wal mutasaddiqin wal mutasaddiqat. Right? Then charitable works. Allah Ta'ala likes this. Khayrun nas anfa'ul nas. This man, this person, that is of service to men. What? He's showing the most service to people. Kindness to people, most service, he's providing the best service, then he's the better person. Kind here, he's kind this side here, kind that side. He is not waiting for his rights to be fulfilled. Yes, but what can I do for him? How can I do for him? What can I do for that person? So that's the best person. In the light of the hadith, that's the best person. Or this person, let me cover his faults. He made a mistake now. We won't talk about it. This person, you're alright. He's got a problem. Let's try and work his problem. Let's think now. According to our capacities, let's work out something for him. We understand he's weak, mentally he's weak. He's weak in some other respects, right? But now, must we now, because he's broken down, must we take him to the cleaners and throw him out? He's our brother, alright, let's pick him up again. Maybe he's made a mistake, whatever it is, but Allah Pak hasn't closed the door on him. When Allah Pak has not closed the door, why must we close the door? We don't know what would have been our position had we been in his predicament. Now, we become boastful of ourselves, or see what he did. But if you were in that position and you behaved like that, and then people showed you that attitude, how would you have liked it? Alright, man made a mistake. He has recognized his mistake. Let's see how we can bring him up again. Slowly, alright. Let's have an approach. Let's talk to him. Let's bring him up. Let's cover him up. Let's conceal the person. He's a Muslim after all. Maybe he turns out to be better than all of us. One of the leaders of all the awliya was Fuzail ibn Iyaz, rahimahullah. But look at his beginning. He was the leader of the robbers. He's falling in love with someone. So in an illicit activity, an illicit thing. And then he's the head of all the robbers. And then just over one verse of the Quran, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Hasn't the time come that you have khushu, you have fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Say, but now this is enough. My girlfriend, bye, this is the end of our relationship. My gang and all that, whoever you are, bye, it's the end of it. I'm not going to do this again. Alright, you making tawbah, we making tawbah as well. But you see, his tawbah is so, so sincere. It's not just for the convenience, not for the moment. Tawbah is not for the convenience, not for the moment. No, no. It's a promise with you. Come what may, I may have a million opportunities after this. Now, I'm not going to touch this at all. So on our side, we show respect to the person. Alright, he made a mistake, now let's bring him up.
Whatever happened about the end of the world? If Allah Pak can forgive, why can't we forgive? Why must we show him an attitude? Why must we close the mercy of Allah to him? Why must we do that? As though we are controlling the mercy of Allah. Do we control it? Mistake is mistake, no? Khalas. If it was our own son and people had turned away from him, how would have felt? So treat the next person also like how you would like to be treated. Made a mistake, alright, let's make a plan for him. Let's correct him, let's bring him back. Maybe it's a moment of acceptance, love all through him in. Can't we do that? Can't we think a little bit like that? See this khushu, the saddiqeen, charitable, hospitable, providing of service. You're not worried of how they will repay, no, not at all. How they repay you, or they recognize you, or they don't recognize, you're not concerned, that's not your business. But I must be the service provider, I must provide it. Whatever they do and whatever they say, that's their business. But am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Now we are worried now. I'm doing this and how are they appreciating my good? It doesn't work like that. If you're going to be two-sided, I'm doing this and I'm going to see how they appreciate me, it's not going to work. Do the work and forget it. Azadi's words were, neki kar aur darya mein phenk. Do the good and forget about it. Do the good. Don't make a song about it. I did this and I did this and I did this. Don't make a song about it. Do the good and forget about it. Allah Pak accepts it by, that's enough. The very fact that Allah Pak accepted your deed, that's enough. You don't need anything more than that. Right? Wal mutasaddiqina wal mutasaddiqat. وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ روزہ فرض روزہ نفل روزہ محرم روزہ then عرفات روزہ then شعبان روزہ whatever the more the better, someone can do more better. In all this you don't look at the other person that is lower than you. God came in the fast, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with this person? God came in the fast. Don't have that attitude. See this pride, ostentation, recognition. I am so and so recognized. See, when we look at the world today, people are after two goals. Either some additional pleasure or some additional recognition. I ask you anything else. Some of their entire life, what they want? See? Additional secure pleasure. Pleasure must be secure and additional. And second, recognition. They must recognize me. I am so and so. Recognize me. I'rifni fa inni ibn fulan. What? I'm so and so, so recognize. So these are the two goals to these people. The pious, so-called pious or not pious. After both, all are after the same. That additional pleasure, secure, and recognition. Now look at how Abu Sufyan and how they look at it. I remember, I went for that Godra Istima, I mean, about 78, 79. Just completed our course. So my parents asked me to accompany Haji Bhai Fadia Sat for the Hajj. So it was around the Istima time, so we went for the Qudra Istima. So they were having that Mashwara now. Hazarji must sit on the stage. The people of Gujarat haven't seen Hazarji. So they will see him, they'll have a liking, they'll come closer. So Hazarji just turned off or down. He says, yeah, what? Irifni fa inni ibn fulan. Recognize me because I'm so and so, I'm Hazarji. He turned off, they don't want the recognition. Here the whole world is after recognition. I'm this person here, I'm this, I hold this position here. I got this influence, I got that power. No, they don't want that. They're not for that additional pleasure, they're not for that recognition. They're for something else.